welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show with your host, Austin Brower. And today I have my wonderful mother, Sharon Brower, on here, and we'll be bringing you the latest world news and health research. And this is Austin Brower, and I'm glad to have you with us today. I'm also glad to have Mom as well. How are you doing today?
Oh, great, Austin. I think we're about 6 hours different than you, so
yep.
it's late over here, but doing wonderful, wonderful. It's good to be with you again.
Good, awesome. First thing I wanted to address with Google now, instead of the Google Glasses, what they have now just patented are the prototype for the Google Cyborg Smart Vision, which are actually lenses, like a contact lens that goes over your eye, except they are a full, it's implanted into the actual eyeball, on the surface of the eyeball, and it can do all kinds of different things, including measuring glucose, a host of different things. But I just wanted to address that, not that it's, you know, some crazy thing. It is pretty odd, but it always goes back to what we were talking about yesterday with me and Dad, how they're trying to slowly put us into the AI and make every single thing we do built into us. You know, they have the goggles now, as far as with the virtual reality stuff. They're trying to get everybody to the point where nobody knows how to do anything without our technology, and that's why it's so important you maintain a lot of the basic skills that you've learned, and also learning new ones, and know how to function in the event of, you know, a power outage, how to, you know, properly boil water, how to filter water, how to grow basic food, you know, how to cook stuff just in general. Most people are so used to the microwave these days. Half the people I talk to don't even really know how to cook. It's quite pathetic. But down here in Florida, we generally are pretty good at grilling still and smoking stuff. So that's good, though. But how's everything going over in Europe right now, Mom?
Well, before I get into that, I'd like to comment on what you just said, Austin. We've got a very large epidemic going on in this world today with the children that we're raising and the generation that we're raising. And the problem is we're allowing too many electronics, i.e. Cell phones, video games, iPad games, iPod games, just all kinds of stuff to just take over our children's free time. They're not learning skill sets that they need for survival. And I'm not saying survival, let's say the end of the world survival. I'm just saying, as far as, like you said, cooking. I mean, most kids aren't even taught how to boil water, because most parents don't even use their kitchens because they go out to eat so much. I mean, at one time we were planning on selling our house, and we were looking at some homes, and we were looking at some, you know, pretty nice homes, and the kitchens would be beautiful, and they didn't even look like they were lived in. And the realtors say, oh, no, they don't cook. I said, well, why do they have such a nice, expensive oven and all this? Well, they just go out to dinner. And, you know, we've really got to get back to basics. I know I've got two daughters, one 15 and one 13, and I made it a point when they were young, and we still do, but maybe with about 8 to 10, I got the whole Little House on the Prairie series. Not only is it a good, clean series for kids to watch, but it got my girls thinking about how it was to survive in the wilderness back then, what they did. It also was a good educational video, but we I think we got all 9 seasons. But the thing is, it got them thinking differently. Another thing is, shame on you if you don't encourage your children to read books. I find which kind of series my children like, especially my girls now. Austin's grown, and my other son is in college. I pretty much leave him alone. But especially the girls, if I can find a good series, a good Christian, not to be a Christian author, but something good, clean, that's a really good book series, I'll go on Amazon, buy a book, and dare them to encourage to read, because it's such a lost art today that someone wants to sit down and actually read a book. So I encourage them to do that. They don't sit around and watch video games. They don't sit around and sit on my iPhone and say, which games can I play, Mom? They know how to entertain themselves. We brought Savannah, our 13-year-old, with us to Europe, and we had to fuss at her, but not in a bad way. She has her luggage is so full we could barely close it. She's got books with her. And that's how she entertains herself when she really doesn't have anything else to do. Because we, you know, do radio shows and a lot of, we interview and do a lot of things. And sometimes, you know, she may sit around and have nothing to do, but she knows how to entertain herself. If we're at home, she actually goes outside and plays, gets on her skateboard or does bikes or goes to the neighbors or something. But has creative play still. And Austin, it's just, you have to make it a priority. It doesn't just happen anymore. This is something that our youth is just, is turning into a bunch of idiots. And, you know, when you talk about all this stuff that's coming out, this new technology, it's coming out so fast. And if people, when you go to the movies and you watch these movies, you think, oh my gosh, that was a good movie, but what about this and what about that? You know, the future. Trust me, if it's in a movie, they've probably already got it out and it's already happening. We just don't know about it yet because, like Austin said, they're slowly indoctrinating us into this mindset, into this thought. And I refuse to be a part of it. I don't plan on participating in it. I want my children to be different. We decided before Ted and I even got married, and I suggest anyone, if you're engaged and you're planning on getting married, you don't make decisions about how you're going to raise your children. You don't make decisions about how you're going to immunize. You don't just make decisions of how you're going to discipline your children. You go to a really good program at your church that has good marriage counseling, and it may be a 6 weeks process, and you talk about this stuff then. And you decide if you can't agree on these basic things, they're not going to be better once you get married. And take care. How are you going to discipline your children? What's a priority for me with my children? And talk about it then. Because it just, you can't be fighting about this when you get married. You've got to know before you have that baby if you're going to immunize. You've got to know before you get married, is your wife or is your husband going to cook? Or are they going to take supplements? Are they going to eat clean like you? Are they going to work out? I mean, these things sound like they're really just trivial things, but they will make or break your marriage. And then if you have some financial problems that is really hard on a marriage, all this other stuff is just going to make it worse, Austin. I know I got on a tangent, but when you talk about all this new technology coming out, I mean, we've got to really, and I don't have a problem with the technology. What I have a problem with is getting your children consumed with it. And let's go back to, you know, how it was years and years ago and let them have a little bit of that too. Does that make sense?
That's exactly right. I mean, you couldn't have said it any better. And I can't tell you how many times I've gone somewhere, we'll go to a restaurant or go out and do something and you'll go by a table. And it's always the same thing. 6, 7, 8-year-old kids, and they're sitting there playing on a tablet, playing on their mom's phone, playing on their dad's phone, and they just sit there the whole time like idiots. They play in the cars, they play at the table, they play when they get home. They're completely entrenched in this, and now what we're going to start seeing very soon is the virtual reality epidemic, where these kids are just going to be sitting there with their headsets on, with their mouth open, drooling on themselves, playing video games with the virtual reality goggles. And one thing I wanted to address today, too, I had an email about it today, and we haven't talked about it that much, and I don't have a significant problem with them, but I did just want to address it and let you guys make your own decision. Are the Wi-Fi Fitbit bracelets that have grown so popular lately? I see a lot of people wearing them around here in Florida, a lot of people at the gym, and if you guys don't know what they are, they'll track, you know, your steps, your heart rate. They make all kinds of different degrees of different quality ones, better, worse, all over the place. If you're curious about them, I mean, you can read about them. They're all online. But I had somebody email me, and they were asking me if they emit some type of radiation. And you have to understand that these are Wi-Fi products. And anything that you basically are strapping on your body, next to your body, and it uses Wi-Fi or some type of cellular radiation to track biological activity, 100%, no question about it, is going to have some type of health concern. Now, it may be minimal, it may be something that you never see, it may be something that never even bothers you and never even comes up in your life. But a lot of people wear these things 24/7. They'll track your sleep, how good you sleep, everything. And if you're using them for, you know, okay, I'm trying to lose weight, I'm trying to figure out my active days, I'm working out here, or I'm in the gym, I want to check my heart rate, I got that. It's a pretty cool tool for that, and it is. If you're trying to hit a specific heart rate, and you're doing cardio and stuff like that, it's a really good tool. But I think a lot of people get so obsessed with them where they let it almost micromanage their life. Well, I've had this many steps today. I've done this. I've done that. I've done this. And it monitors all that. And there's a lot easier ways to do stuff and keep it simple besides strapping, you know, a Wi-Fi or cellular radiation tool onto your wrist and walking around with it all day. I read a couple articles earlier when I was looking up some stuff on it, and there's been multiple reports, blogs, emails, all kinds of stuff online about people that have been are wearing them, and all of a sudden their wrist starts hurting really bad. They start getting real stiff. They start getting fatigue when they start wearing it. They'll loosen it up, and it still hurts. Now, again, these are, you know, probably minor side effects, and most people aren't going to experience this. And like I said, I'm not either one or against it. I don't wear one, if you guys want to know that. Nobody in my family wears one. I turn off my Wi-Fi at night in my house because I don't need to have Wi-Fi floating around my house when I'm sleeping. It's not necessary. So that's just my take on it. If you guys want to use one, I would prefer it's used as a tool and you use it specifically what you need it for, not rely on it just to micromanage your life and run constant Wi-Fi throughout your whole body on a daily basis. And also remember, too, if you have kids, guys, and you're holding your kids and you're wearing these things, granted, the amount of frequency that it puts out is probably very, very minimal, but it's still enough to monitor your body, your biometrics, you know, whatever you're doing in your body, it's monitoring it. So it's strong enough of a frequency to pull that up. So, again, just my take on it. You guys can take it or leave it. I'm not pro. I'm not against them, really. It's just you make your own decision on it, and you go from there. And another article that I saw going on today is it looks like Trump is poised to win Indiana today so far. I don't know if anything's going to happen. Weird with Cruz, but if he wins Indiana today, he will be over 1,000 delegates, which will pretty much mean, even with the exception of California, he'll have enough delegates, if he doesn't even win California, to win the nominee. But I don't even foresee him losing California. I thought that was interesting because he's pretty much woken up most of the population now. We have a small portion of it. I saw some videos today on InfoWars where these Mexicans out in California protesting Trump, and they have their little 4- and 5- and 6-year-old Mexican kids with them holding up these anti-Trump signs. And whenever Trump supporters walk by, the kids are jumping up and down with their hands over there, with their middle fingers up, saying F Donald Trump, F mm-hmm. Donald Trump. Now these kids are like 5 and 6 years old. These aren't grown adults. These are like, you know, 2 and 3 foot tall, like kids, like little children. Oh. Middle fingers up, just screaming F Donald Trump, F Donald Trump. I mean, repeatedly, all kinds of other profanity, just screaming it at people. And everybody's going, yeah, Donald Trump, support Trump. And these guys are just screaming profanities at him. Guys, if that's the segment of the population that is against Donald Trump, I hate to tell them, I don't have anything to do with them, and they're going to have a very difficult time even beating Donald Trump with any type of rhetoric of that sort. I mean, when you see people that are that low class that allow their children to behave like that in public, and that's acceptable behavior to them, guys, we got something going on in this country that we need significant help with, and it's time for a change, and it's time for somebody in America to stand up for what's right, and I think Donald Trump's doing a doggone good job of that. But what's your take on that, Mom? You guys heard anything else out in Europe of Donald Trump or anything else?
Well, you know, we do a lot of interviews with people, but what's so ironic is yesterday we decided we're in Italy now. We want to take Savannah to the Murano Glass Factory because she'd never experienced it, because this is a lost art, Austin. These people learn, they become masters at this glass production as far as making almost anything with glass. And then they teach their sons, and it's passed down from generation to generation. So it was really cool seeing that. But our rep there was really nice and spent a lot of time with your dad talking, and he was wide awake. He knew what chemtrails were and everything. But he said, yeah, we get a lot of nice people that come through here. You know, we had Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. They kind of like were different. You know, I said, well, yeah, I guess. And Ivana Trump said, oh, she was very, very nice. I said, yeah, all the Trumps are very nice. People have just not understood them. I said, but they're really super nice people. And we said, what do you think about Donald Trump? Says, oh, we over here in Italy, everybody wants Donald Trump to be president. I said, are you kidding me? That's wonderful. He goes, oh, yeah, he's so different from Obama. I said, different. I said, he's not even on the same planet. But this guy was so awake. He was so pro-Trump. It was so refreshing, Austin. He knows what's going on in the world. He knows what's going on in America. And he says, you need Trump in there. You've got to have somebody in there that's actually going to be strong enough and bold enough to make some changes. And he's saying this in an accent. I'm trying to understand. He goes, and what's so great is he's not a politician. This is wonderful. He's a businessman. He will take America and treat it like a business and bring it back. And I said, oh, I hope so. We're hoping and praying for that. But, you know, when you hear people from another country speak like that, it just makes you feel good, you know?
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
well,
that's
another,
interesting.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
Oh, I was going to say another thing. Is you're hearing all this stuff about Hillary, you know? Why is she sick? Why does she disappear from a conference and come back and, you know, later and all these weird behaviors? And, I've heard different rumors. I'm not going to quote any articles or anything because I don't know how many have been proven, but, you know, some people are saying that she's staying drunk and, or she's got these issues with her lungs. I don't know what it is, but, you know, the truth of the matter is if you're not serving God, you're serving Satan. I mean, if you don't have that peace and joy in righteousness in the Holy Spirit, you know, she may be drinking all the time because she's so unhappy and tormented. I mean, what would you expect from her, you know? So on the other hand, it's like a circus out there, Austin. And, you know, again, and I know I say this all the time, but please, please pray for Donald Trump and his family and pray for the truth to be exposed in Washington, in government, and the lies to be exposed too. But just get on your hands and knees and pray. I mean, don't just say it, but actually do it. Take action.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you brought up Hillary. I mean, Hillary Clinton, I mean, she's a complete and total pathetic, useless human being, to be honest with you. She is. I mean, the fact that she hasn't been incarcerated, the fact that she's even in any type of political office and she's actually running for president now just shows you how many people they've killed, her and her husband, and how much money they've spent to prop up their entire life and to a facade to make people think there's something they're not. I mean, when you start going to Clinton Chronicles and everything else, and this is what they did back in the 90s, I mean, there's some sick, sick people. And like I said, the fact that she's even running for president and is even getting votes just shows you how low America's stupid as our intellectual behavior and our content and what we comprehend and where we are at as human beings here. So, yeah, the thing is, I mean, regardless what happens with Trump, I mean, more than likely if he gets in, they're going to use some excuse to crash the economy. We already know that. But at least we're going to have somebody in there that has some push done, that has done this before, that has goals, that has realistic expectations of what's going on, and somebody that doesn't lie to us every other sentence they say. And that's my stance on it. And when I like I told you guys the other day, when I heard his foreign policy speech, and he specifically brought up the Christians that are being persecuted in the Middle East by the radical Muslims, and that nobody wants to talk about it, nobody's done anything about it, the president won't address it, he won't even say the word radical Islam, and he said we should be ashamed of ourselves as Americans for not doing something about this. And he's right. He's right. And the chemtrail thing, you mentioned chemtrails a second ago. I wanted to address this because this is crazy. This shocked me. Out in Colorado again, remember, Colorado is getting so liberal from all the Californians that have moved over there because of the high taxes and everything else in California.
That's right.
Colorado is pretty much turned into New California is what it is, if you talk to anybody out there. A judge in Colorado now has ordered Child Protective Services to remove a mother's child from her custody because the mother's interest in chemtrails was a fringe subculture and represented a threat to her daughter. This is bizarre, guys. You aren't even going to believe this. Boulder Judge Dolores Mallard told Becca Vanderbilt that her interest in the chemtrail conspiracy was a radical view because 99% of people know they are just contrails. Kind of crap this judge is peddling. And on top of that, she goes, Van said the inquiry was triggered after she raised the subject of chemtrails during a visit to her daughter's school and was immediately told to leave the premises. She was later contacted and her child was taken from her, basically with Sheriff's Department and Child Protective Services. she goes on to say, I can only see my daughter now with a social security worker standing over me taking notes. Mm-hmm. And the judge says there was that if I mentioned chemtrails, they would put a stop to it. I'm being railroaded for expressing my views about chemtrails, adding that she has not received any CPS visits, nor were there any allegations of child abuse made by the court or her daughter's school, meaning she has not had any type of conviction or allegation where there's been ill intent or harm or any type of neglect done to her daughter at all. Nothing even documented. The judge simply wrote this off as he was God and said, I'm taking your child from you because you have this interest in this fringe subculture known as chemtrails. Apparently it started out that the school is the main one that got involved. They helped have the custody taken away because she had a huge argument with the school where they severely embellished her comments about chemtrails, and she basically went on a rant about it. So they immediately contacted Child Protective Services, and now she's fighting to get her daughter back because of this. First off, this should tell you two things, actually three things. One, keep your kids out of public school. That's just that. There's other options you can do right now with homeschool groups. There's just being in a public school system is not what it used to be right now. I've heard that from so many people where they go, well, you know, public school is good for me. And dude, you're 65 years old. You know, you were in school back in the 50s and 60s. Public school is completely different back then. You know?
That's right.
Keep your kids out of public school. Secondly, this shows you that chemtrails really are something significant, because the judge would have never ordered her like this to take her daughter from her for the simple mention of a chemtrail. You can see them plain as day. Contrails and chemtrails are not the same. You're a blithering idiot if you think they are. And I'm sorry if anybody gets offended by that, but that's the truth. There is no way you can look at both those and watch two side by side and say that's the exact same thing. It's not. So what he's trying to do, he's trying to shut her up because he doesn't want her expressing those views. And thirdly, it shows you that the judge, the entire judicial system is completely corrupted. The fact that he even had that type of power when there were no allegations of child abuse, anything like that, to take his daughter from her, take her daughter from her, it just shows you how much the level of corruption it is. And that's why I just, guys, I mean, you gotta make sure you know who you're talking to too when you bring stuff up. Believe me, I'm on a radio show. Anybody can hear this stuff. But you gotta make sure, especially when you're in person, if you start getting these people that are real weird, you start talking to them about stuff, if they get you get a ton of flack from them, and you feel it, you can feel they're getting real weird on you, it's probably best to walk away. I've done that a few times. When you start getting that pull that, hey, these people are up to no good, they're looking at me weird, you can tell they're completely brainwashed, those are the type of people that turn you into CPS. Those are the type of people that make, you know, false allegations with the police department. So it's best just to stay away from a lot of that when you see people acting that sort. So I wanted to address that today and give everybody a heads up on that.
Well, Austin, you know, you are so right on. And the thing about the Child Protective Services, if they are any way involved in your life because of stuff like you're talking about, I mean, it is so sick, crazy what they do and the power they have. But the first thing, I don't care how much money it takes, you get an attorney. If they start bothering you or getting in your business or accusing you of this like this lady did, you've got to get an attorney. That's the only way that you can fight this. It's the only way that you can win it. These judges, like you said, think they're God. They've given too much authority. Their terms are too long. They need to have shorter terms, much shorter terms. They need to be voted in every time. And we need to get a lot of them out of there. But the thing is, the Child Protective Services is not your friend. And I agree, there are some abusive parents and you think of mostly, you know, your low income areas and stuff like that, and the alcoholic parents and all that. I understand. But guys, the majority of these cases are not the cases like that. If anything, it's about 50-50. And these people that are educating their children, I mean, Savannah, our 13-year-old, she listens to our radio shows, she reads, we're educating her. And we've told her, Savannah, you can't go out and talk to your friends about this. She's finally old enough to know better. And I know you want to argue with people, and I know you know a lot of stuff. I said, but like Austin just said, we tell our even our 13-year-old, you've got to be very careful. And if you see any friction or any, you know, they're pushing back on you, just drop it, because you're not going to win. We were on a cruise one time, and Savannah starts talking to this older man that, I mean, he was just a big mouth, and she pretty much was just coming right back at him, which, I mean, I was really impressed. But she starts talking about the Twin Towers, and I'm like, oh gosh, Savannah, please stop. Well, he came up to us, and we thought, oh no, here we go. You know, they're gonna arrest us on the boat because of this, you know. And I mean, you can imagine what we were thinking. So we kind of turned it around and said, oh yeah, we let our children, you know, just have the chance of investigating all the different scenarios of everything. And she's heard all these different conspiracy ideas and stuff, and she's probably just, you know, talking about one of those. So don't mind her. But, you know, we're just letting her have, you know, her freedom to express herself. And, you know, we covered ourselves. But, I mean, he could have been some really bad news for us. And they're out there. You know, you got the Big Brother. You got the tattletales. You got the narcs. Yeah, I mean, I'm so over it, Austin. I just, and, you know, the thing is, Austin, it's almost getting to the point now where with immunizations, with the protective services, with all these scenarios, you're going to have to live in a state that pretty much has your values as much as possible. For instance, you know, up in the Northeast, a lot of the schools are so liberal with the the schools that they're doing now, the
Common Core.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry, Common Core. You know, that's all they have up there, and all these different things. You know, if it's that bad, how important is raising your family? It's one of the most important things you'll ever do in your life. And if you have to move to another state because it's not as liberal, it's more conservative, they believe this, they believe that, they believe in open carry, I mean, whatever, just do it, because it's not worth you having to compromise your children and their future. And I'm a firm believer in that. I mean, if they came and they said in our state that we have forced immunizations to homeschoolers, blah, 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 it's like, okay, no problem, we're out of here. That's just how I feel about it. And I know you feel the same way, Austin. You'll do anything to protect that little boy of yours.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the resolve that most people have to get a hold of now, is that we're in that position. They've pushed us into that position in this country now, that we can no longer back up another foot, back up another step, back up against this. We're back up against the wall now. Their rights have been eroded so heavily in the United States that we don't have the option to allow any more to be taken, because if any more are, it's going to be a full-blown totalitarian police state. We'll have no rights. We won't even be able
That's
to drive
right.
down the street without being stopped at checkpoints to show them our papers and our passports or our visas, just like Nazi Germany. That's the next step, guys. That's why it's so important. And I feel like I beat a dead horse with firearms. That's why I'm so big on Second Amendment, supporting Second Amendment groups with your money, with your time, with your emails, and your friends, making sure you're training with them, make sure you're keeping everybody weapons efficient, you know, staying active with your gun handling. It's so important, guys, because that is our last line of defense against any type of invasion, foreign or domestic, in this country. And there will be a time, I promise you, it may be a very long time from now, which I hope it is, but there will be a time when we are called to that, and we have to defend ourselves, and we have to stand up for what's right. And that will be the point in time when we say the Second Amendment is what saved us and saved this country. There's a reason why our founding fathers put it as number two. It wasn't number 14. It wasn't 10. It was specifically that second one, because without that second one, none of the other ones mean anything. They can all be eroded. As you've already seen, they've already been eroded almost completely. But still at that, the second one has prevented a massive amount of loss of rights, even at this point. One thing I want to talk about, too, with religious freedom and speech. This is pretty crazy now. In New York State University, they're now requiring students to get a permit before they can talk about Jesus at North Carolina State University. This is interesting. They got some liberal idiots up there at this school right now. Now a lawsuit has been filed in federal court against North Carolina State University from Grace Christian Life, who's a registered student group. They filed a suit over policy requiring a permit for student speech or communication anywhere on campus, including religious speech. Now, the thing about this, guys, is courts have well established that a public university cannot require permits in this manner for this kind of speech, and certainly can't enforce such rules selectively. Unconstitutional censorship is bad, but giving university officials complete discretion to decide when and where to engage in silencing students makes the violation even worse. That's why the GCL has filed this lawsuit. Apparently, how it started September of last year, when a student group was told without a permit they must stop approaching other students inside the student union to engage in religious discussions and inviting them to attend group events. This is what it's all about, guys. And the thing is, they brought up in the lawsuit is the university has not restricted the ability to engage in any type of other expressed activities in any other types of groups or religious organizations in the entire school. They've specifically selected Christians only to enforce this ridiculous permit law. And this is one of those things that this needs to be taken care of quickly. I'm really glad Christian Life had the resolve to file a lawsuit on this, because this is what the universities want. This is what they're pushing for. They want to completely root out Christianity so they can push their liberal, you know, agenda on everybody without any type of opposition. So I'm glad that they're bringing that up. I'm not glad that they're trying to do that. It just shows you how aggressive these universities are, especially at brainwashing people, because a lot of people read some of the comments, thought this was completely normal. So, you know, and that's a big university, guys. This isn't some private school where they can say, well, we make the laws, we make the rules here. I mean, this is North Carolina State University. So I thought that was definitely an interesting subject for today.
Here. Well, you also, you don't expect to find that in your southern states. Not that North Carolina is that southern, but I mean, it is a southern state. And I know over here in Europe, it's so sad because, you know, the Great Reformation and everything, this is history over here. And they're turning so many of the cathedrals into mosques now. They don't even go to church. What was it the other day? Pentecost Monday, they said, oh, we'll, I think it's next Monday. They said, oh, that's a holiday. I said, what holiday is it? Well, it's something from the Bible. I said, okay. It's like after, so many days after Easter. I said, oh, Pentecost. You go to church, you do that. I mean, it's all about religion. They don't really know what to believe because they've not gone to church anymore. And it's just so sad. And it makes you really, really appreciate America right now. I mean, that we are such a strong Christian nation, and we've got to quit taking it for granted, because when you come over here, oh my goodness, it's just so worldly. I mean, you know, we bow our heads, we're praying in a restaurant or something, and no one does that over here. It's just, you take it for granted, and you just see things in the United States that you don't see over here. And then we let our light shine in America. You don't see any light shining over here. And I really believe that they could have a revival over here if they could get the right people and just get the spirit and the fire of God over here, Austin. It's just really sad. Well, it grieves my spirit.
Well, yeah, and what's happened is this radical Islam culture is spreading so fast throughout Europe as well. You haven't even seen the worst of it yet, because what's going to happen is these guys breed, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 kids. And they're extremely radical with their Muslim beliefs. Majority of them are. You can talk about all the moderate Muslims and stuff like that. Guys, I've rarely met any Muslims that are not radicals. If they say they're not radicals, then that probably means they are. I'm just being honest with you. And what we're seeing now in the United States is more and more of them are becoming more and more emboldened as far as suing companies, suing the government, trying to make stands for their religious rights. First off, I have news for these guys that are coming over here. This isn't your country. This is the United States of America. This is a Christian country. It was founded as a Christian country. It will continue to be a Christian country, regardless if you want to bring your satanic Muslim worship over here. This is interesting now in California. Two lawsuits have been filed now in California on Monday, claiming Muslim women were discriminated against in separate incidents because of their religion. You know, get this. The first one's the City of Long Beach Police Department. Kirsty Powell, who's a Muslim, who wears a full headscarf, hijab, whatever they call them, all the way around. You know, where you got little eye slits hanging out. She was pulled over by two officers and last year, and she was arrested for two warrants. Okay, one was linked to her sister falsely using her identity. The other one was to a shoplifting incident at a grocery store. Now, get this. She's suing the police department because she alleges that while being booked at the police station for warrants that she had committed, you know, charges that she was being filed on, one of the officers forcibly removed her headscarf in view of other male officers, telling her she was not allowed to wear her hijab. Okay, first off, if I get arrested for something and I'm wearing a ski mask and I actually make it into booking with a ski mask, do you really think the law enforcement officers are going to let me wear my ski mask into holding? Are you joking me right now? This is one of the stupidest things I've ever heard of. First off, she never even would have gotten past a traffic stop without taking this off. I don't care what your religion is. If it impedes me from doing my duty and identifying you properly, you're taking off your ski mask. I don't care. That's how it's going to be. I'm sure officers felt the exact same way. And I am now, granted, I'm not saying all the officers do everything perfect. I'm not saying there aren't some bad apples. We've talked about that before. But the truth is, you pull somebody over wearing one of these, I want to see your face, and I want to see your ID, and I want to know what you're doing. And when you get booked for warrants that are outstanding, I'm definitely going to make sure that you don't go into holding with all types of scarves around your head. A, for liability, so somebody can't strangle you or you can't hang yourself. And B, you need to make sure you're identified properly before you go in. And it states in the lawsuit that Powell suffered and continues to suffer extreme shame, humiliation, mental anguish, and emotional distress as a result of her experience. Well, I hate to tell her, going to jail sucks. It really does. There's nothing cool about it at all, but you probably shouldn't shoplift, and then you won't go to jail. That's just kind of your aspect right there. If she wouldn't have done A, she wouldn't have gone to B, and C wouldn't have happened. It's pretty easy mathematics. The next incident, I'm going to have to look into more. I saw this article today. And it goes, says that on the other one was filed this Monday, a group of seven women claimed they were kicked out of Earth Cafe in Laguna Beach because they were Muslim, which, like I said, I'd like to see more of this whole thing. They said that the women were all wearing headscarves and alleged that management asked them to vacate the table after they had paid on April 22nd on grounds that the restaurant was busy and that they had a written policy limited seating to 45 minutes per table when no free tables were available. Now, I have not personally been to a restaurant where that's a policy. They generally don't boot you out after you've been there. However, if this is Laguna Beach, they make it extremely packed in there, and they don't want people coming in and buying a cup of coffee and hogging up a table for 2 and 3 hours. So that is understandable. But apparently when the women refused to leave, the coffee house called in the police and basically forcibly escorted them off the property, which technically that business has a right to do. You can deny service to anybody. So I don't know what they're so mad about, but they're saying that they were discriminated against because they were Muslims. We'll see. I got to do a little more research on that one. The first one, though, is pretty much clear cut. She's being a punk because she's a Muslim and she wants to try and prove a point and force their Muslim identity and their Muslim ideology and religion on us. Even though we don't agree with it, they want us to accept it and deal with it. And I'm simply not going to do that. And obviously, the police officers out in California were not either. So, yeah, I wanted to address that since you brought up the Muslims over in Europe because we see what's going on over there. We got to do the best we can to not allow that to happen here in the United States.
Well, we're headed to report from Rome tomorrow, and hopefully we'll have some good information for you. After that, we had planned to go to Naples, and it is so ironic. It's almost funny in a way. Every single person without a shadow of a doubt, that we have talked to about Naples laughs at us, looks scared, said, why are you going to Naples? Well, we'd like to go down to Naples and check it out. You probably won't come back with a car. You probably will be robbed. Their main, I guess, source of revenue down there is stealing. I mean, they have websites on the internet that are just for warning tourists about Naples. We belong to the Starwood property where we stay with our hotels, and Starwood has pulled out of Naples. There's not even a Starwood property in Naples.
Wow.
So we were going to have to go down to Naples and come back up to Rome to spend the night because there is no Starwood property down there. And, you know, we use wisdom, and we know that when we're out here interviewing and trying to find out information over here in Europe, we have to use discernment, and we have to use wisdom. And as much information as we want to give to our listeners, because we really want to give you a good radio show, good information, because we're here for the three E's, to educate, entertain, and enlighten. And we just decided it may not be worth it going down there, even though we could, you know, give you a lot of good information, but may have to just take that one and just go to the websites and read about it. But I mean, it was one thing after another, warning you, warning you, warning you. And now it got to the point where your dad, we'd go into a hotel or we'd start interviewing someone and say, oh, we're planning on going down to Naples. What do you think? Just because he wanted to see their reaction. And 100% of the time, everybody's reaction has been the same, Austin. I mean, you would think it wouldn't be. So,
well, yeah, I know.
But, you know, it's the unemployment is so bad down there. The crime is so bad down there. There's so much history down there. And, you know, you were talking earlier about homeschool and all that. And not many schools could we take our 13-year-old out of for 3 weeks. But by being homeschooled, she's getting an incredible education over here about Europe. She has to write a paper on every place we go, gather information, and learn about it. But it's just an incredible hands-on education that she's very blessed to have. You also were the same. You got to go to a lot of countries because of what your father does for a living, and you were homeschooled, and that's what's made you who you are today. Really, it is, because you have been all over the world. You've learned so much, and you've seen so many different cultures. And again, it makes you really love America, even though what we're going through, there's still got to be hope. We've got to believe there's hope, because over here, guys, you know, my husband being from Germany and his first language German, and you can just see how sad it is to him that they're not the majority anymore. I mean, there are people, like you said, that have their heads covered everywhere you go. People from India, people, you know, the refugees that have come in here. It was so refreshing the other day, Austin. We were headed, I think, down through Austria near Salzburg, and there was an old-fashioned German folk festival. It was a big celebration, and everybody for miles were walking towards this big field that had like a beer garden and rides and pony rides and families on blankets and having picnics out in the field. And they were all walking, and every one of them, Austin, the men had on lederhosen, the women had on their traditional dresses. And I thought, good for them. They're trying to hold on to their culture. They're trying to hold on to their country. And you don't see that anymore. And it was just so refreshing to see that, to know that, hey, at least they're trying.
Yeah. Well, no, it is good to see parts of that, like over there. Dad told me about that yesterday, and I was pretty excited because, like you said, at least they're trying to do the best they can to what they have as far as their culture. This is another story down here from Florida again, in Coral Springs. It was on InfoWars. This is funny. The FBI manufactures another fake terror attack and then torts the terror attack like they do every time. The FBI creates another non-existent terror threat by encouraging a psychopath to blow up a Jewish center in southern Florida with a dummy bomb the FBI provided. The corporate media reports the attack was thwarted by the FBI. The individual was James Gonzalo Medina, and he was unemployed with no permanent address, had supposedly converted to Islam a few years ago, had a felony aggravated stalking charge. So they basically tracked him down, said, wouldn't you like to go bomb, you know, a Jewish center? And I guess he was like, yeah, that'd be cool. So they handed him a fake bomb. So then he went to plant it at the Jewish center, and then they arrested him. And it's funny to me, because not the incident itself, because it's quite sad that they do that. Granted, I don't know if this guy would have ever been involved in something later on in the future, but the FBI likes to do this. They're notorious for doing this. They did this back in 2010, if you guys remember, in New York. There was another one last year down in Key West. They did the same thing. They do this all over the country all the time. And what they do is you'll notice, because I saw part of the report on Fox today, and Megyn Kelly was just, parading on Fox News, praising the FBI. Oh, well, it's so good they do this and they get people off the street. I'm so glad they prevented a terrorist attack. Oh, and this and that. And, you know, FBI torts terror attack. And what they're doing is, guys, this is all psychological conditioning. Understand that. This has nothing to do with preventing anything. They constantly put it on the television to remind you, to instill that fear in you that you could at any second be blown up by a crazy radical. Now, I'm not saying there's not a lot of crazy people in the country or even in the world, because there are. But what they do is they constantly braid this on the news, and they use their little media anchors like Megyn Kelly and Fox News, and they sit there and repeat it over and over and over again. FBI thwarts bomb threat. FBI stops terrorist attack. And so regardless if people know the FBI set it up, and regardless if they know the bomb was fake, it doesn't matter. Subconsciously, they're implanting those little bits of fear in people's brains to make them think, oh, man, why the FBI did that? If the FBI wasn't around, I don't know what we'd do. We'd probably all just die. Whoa! That's what they do. They're doing that on purpose. They're getting everybody conditioned to this, so everybody constantly sits around in just a steady state of fear. Terrorism. Oh, my gosh, I don't want to be, you know, blown up by a terrorist. Glad the FBI's here. So I wanted to bring that up today, guys, because it's quite irritating to hear about these all the time, because I know their agenda behind them. I've talked to multiple people in the past that have told me the exact same thing. They were in different aspects of the military. It has nothing to do with stopping anything. This guy was unemployed with no permanent address. I mean, no, don't get me wrong. Could he have been involved in something if some radical came up to him with a real working, you know, plastic explosive bomb? Probably. He probably would have done that. But the chances are that somebody makes that significant of a weapon, they're probably not going to pick this idiot to go do it. They're probably going to pick some type of an underground ISIS cell that's been implanted by the United States through our lack of immigration policy. That's what they're going to do. But see, this is just another way to keep everybody in a constant state of fear all the time. So I wanted to bring that up and just give you guys my take on that. If you saw that news article on Fox yesterday, to understand what's going on, Visa now has come out with a new plan to burden even more millions of millennials with billions of debt. This is by Tyler Durden. This is crazy now. As if, you know, the student loan debt that we've actually acquired over $800 billion in student loan debt in less than 10 years. Since the middle of 2006 now, guys, we've gone from right under $500 billion in student loan debt to now we're at $1.3 trillion in student loan debt. But apparently, the credit card companies have found a new niche, the millennials. They can rack them up with more debt. They basically, what their take is that millennials are already accustomed to taking on large amounts of debt because of student loans. This is true. Most people back in the day, you tell them that you're going to take on a $30,000 or $40,000 debt for college, they look at you wide-eyed and say, that's crazy. Most people, you know, don't even spend that on a brand new vehicle, much less a college degree. So what they've done now, they've come out with a plan to add indefinite more debt to millennials who are working, with credit cards. And they're saying that it could have a positive effect by helping to pay off some of the student loans. Wait a minute. So you're telling me that they're going to put their student loan payments on their credit cards and then pay interest on their credit cards and on their student loans? Got it. Just want to make sure I was clear on that now. They're coming up saying now jobs will be adding up to $8.3 trillion in personal income for millennials by 2025. They believe that millennials use credit cards for 57% of their spending, making them an attractive target for credit card marketing and massive amounts of additional debt. I'm going to add that in there. That's not what they said, but that's what I'm saying. No, this what I love part, and their slideshow they have on here, they're willing to migrate cash and other transactions to card products when designed for their needs, and millennials are also more likely to revolve and pay fees, meaning they're more likely to use revolving credit more than any other generation and not pay their credit cards off on time and pay the interest. Why? Because they're already accustomed to paying large amount of interest with the student debt. So Visa has found a niche market here to help stack up even more debt, get more individuals on credit cards, and pretty much enslave an entire generation with credit cards, mortgages, house payments, and student loans to a point where nobody's going to have an extra dollar to put in silver or gold, because simply every single working dollar that you earn will go to pay a bill. I remember I had a friend a while back ago, we were talking about stuff, you know, and I was trying to say, well, you know, I mean, I have a little bit of debt here and there, but I try to really keep it as low as I can, pay stuff off. And he was like, well, I want to buy this, I'm buying that, it's just another payment. I buy this, and it's just another payment. Guys, you can't live like that. You can't look at everything as a $200 or $300 a month payment. You have to look at the whole amount you're paying, what's the minimal that you can, what's the most you can pay with the minimal interest, pay it off as quickly as possible, pay the least amount in interest, knock it out, and be done with it. You can't look at it as, I wonder how many payments I can have. You know, it's just another payment. It's another $200 payment. And that's the problem. That's what the millennials are doing. That's how they look at everything now. Everything is another payment. Interest is not an issue anymore. Everything has interest on it for them, so they're used to it. They're conditioned to that. So I wanted to bring that up today. First off, that's pretty disappointing that Visa is now basically targeting millennials because they're so accustomed to student loan debt that they're about to start barraging them with all types of Visa card applications and everything else to get them sucked into the credit card lifestyle. And guys, let me say something. Credit cards are not inherently bad. Credit cards can be extremely useful tool. That's how dad and mom go on these trips. You know, with the points you get from purchases we use from vendors, manufacturers, stuff like that, we accrue points, and you can use airline points, Starwood points, awesome. I do the same thing with some of my personal cards. A lot of them even have cash back now where they'll give you like 1% or 2% cash back on every purchase, which isn't a significant amount, but the truth about it is if you pay your bill off every month, if you're constantly staying ahead of it, you're not paying any interest, and you're getting 2% cash back on your gas and food and everything else you're buying, shoot, it's a lot better than spending money on your debit card if you're going to use a card. Now, obviously, the best thing to do is pay with cash when at all possible, but credit cards can be beneficial. You just have to make sure you live within your means and understand that it does have to be paid back, and that interest on a credit card, in my opinion, is not an option. You should never be okay with paying interest on a credit card. If you do have interest on a credit card right now, that should be one of your biggest priorities, is knocking that down and maintaining a healthy credit card balance that doesn't have interest on it. So that's my rant on credit cards right now.
Well, you know, Austin, as a parent, it's really nice to see that, you know, we've raised you that way. But I know when you first got married, didn't have any bedroom furniture, you guys had got some new furniture, but it was zero interest. You didn't have to pay any interest with it. And that's the kind of deals you look for. Another thing, I know back in the 80s at FSU, when we registered, they were trying to get almost everybody there a gas credit card. Well, that was back in the 80s, you know, the very beginning of the 80s. And we didn't really even use credit cards. And like you said, these kids are being just bombarded, and this is their way of life. Well, think about it. Here you are, a newlywed, And not only do you have all the challenges of being married and all the challenges of just trying to, you know, get used to each other, and now you're getting all this debt, and you're, you know, you got to have it now. And guys, we've got to be content with what we have. Not that we don't need goals. We need goals, and we need to be striving to be better and to do better and have a goal to get something, which is fine. But don't make your goal so important that you're willing to do whatever it takes to get what you want, because it isn't going to work well. You know, the borrower will always be servant to the lender. That's what the Bible says. That is not God's best. If you want to be blessed in all the areas of your life, number one, you got to be a giver. But then again, you've also got to be so careful not to go into debt. And like Austin said, be able to pay it off, because it's going to really play havoc on your marriage on top of everything else, which, you know, people don't need the financial pressure from that, you know, in going into a marriage.
No, you don't, and it just puts a ton of strain on it. And like you mentioned earlier with the bedroom set, you know, we wanted to get really, really nice bedroom furniture that was going to last for a while, you know, dovetail, real nice stuff, because I'm not a big fan of buying things that are super cheap that I have to keep replacing every year. I'd rather not do that. I'd rather buy it right the first time and be able to keep it, you know, for 10, 15, 20 years and enjoy it. And so we ended up getting like 0% financing on like a full, huge bedroom set. And, I mean, it was pricey, but of course, you know, we paid it off in about a year and a half, you know, 0% interest the whole time. And those are great deals. The biggest thing you guys have to watch out for with the 0% is make sure that you can pay it off well, well before the due date of when the 0% offer ends. And I mean well before. Like, if you have a 3-year option for that, you need to be able to pay it off in probably less than 2. Because the thing about it is, if you allow that 0% to lapse, and you guys, if you've had this happen, you'll know, what happens is the entire amount before completely revolves into a new APR, which is usually like 19% or 24.9%. So not only do you end up with all this interest you have to start currently paying, you have back interest that's applied for the last 2 or 3 years on that loan or note or furniture, whatever it is that you bought, all come back on. I had a buddy do that with an engagement ring, and I was so mad at him about it when he did it. And he ended up not paying it off in time. The 0% financing ran out. And so all of a sudden, overnight, it went up like $2,000 more than what he had paid it down to because of all the back interest that applied to it. So be very, very careful if you guys decide to do that. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I've gotten great deals with that before, and if it gives you an extra, you know, 3 or 4 months to knock it down and pay it off real quick, that's a good option. But make sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you have plenty of cash to throw on it and pay it off as quickly as possible. And don't get sucked up into anything else until you get that paid off. One thing at a time, focus on it, knock it out, and be done with it. But guys, it's been great being on the show with you. It's been awesome having Mom on again. We appreciate it. You guys need anything, check us out at healthmasters.com. I forgot to get the website out, but there it is, healthmasters.com. Email us or call us. And Mom, it's been great being on the show. And you guys have a blessed night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.